had come to Cornell in order to inculcate the infidelity of the Westminster Review, and from the eminent divine who went from city to city, denouncing the atheistic and pantheistic tendencies of the proposed education, to the perfervid minister who informed a denominational synod that Agassiz, the last great opponent of Darwin, and a devout theist, was preaching Darwinism and atheism in the new institution. As the struggle deepened, as hostile resolutions were introduced into various ecclesiastical bodies, as honored clergymen solemnly warned their flocks first against the atheism, then against the infidelity, and finally against the indifferentism of the university, as devoted pastors endeavored to dissuade young men from matriculation, I took the defensive, and in answer to various attacks from pulpits and religious newspapers, attempted to allay the fears of the public. Sweet reasonableness was fully tried. There was established and endowed in the university perhaps the most effective Christian pulpit, and one of the most vigorous branches of the Christian Association then in the United States, but all this did nothing to ward off the attack. The clause in the charter of the university forbidding it to give predominance to the doctrines of any sect, and above all the fact that much prominence was given to instruction in various branches of science, seemed to prevent all compromise, and it soon became clear that to stand on the defensive only made matters worse. Then it was that there was born in upon me a sense of the real difficulty,